Your home is your biggest investment. So don't waste money experimenting when it comes to building, maintaining, or repairing it. From the chimney and the flooring to your siding and even the white picket fence, we've got you covered. This is Home Science Show, where we dispel the myths and misconceptions about your home, reading the fine print so you don't have to. Here's your hosts, Chris Linder and Dimitri Lipinski.
Welcome back, everyone, to Home Science Show. I'm your host, Dimitri Lipinski. Here with me, Chris Linder. And today we're talking about winter is coming, and we're going to give you some home winterization tips the best we can. You probably have seen it already. Birds are start flying south, and it means that sky is falling in Minnesota. Winter is definitely coming. It's not far out. All the news about it saying that it's going to be the cold one. So today we have to discuss what can you do to prepare for the winter as far as your household goes, how to save money in the wintertime. What do you have to start doing right now? Right, Chris?
Yeah, well, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt right now, and I'm preparing. I'm getting on a plane today, and I'm headed to the desert because I can already see it coming. So I feel it. I feel it in the air. I feel it in the morning when I wake up, and I'm one of those guys that I actually really enjoy winter, but when it does hit, it hits hard here.
It does. It definitely does. And one thing about Minnesotans, and I don't know what it is, but we do wait until last moment, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, snow is here, and I didn't do that. I didn't do this. How did that happen? What was I thinking?
Yeah, I think it's because we don't want to believe it's actually going to happen. We know what's coming, and we don't even want to start the process because, you know, we know what our winters are like here. And I think the sooner we start thinking about it, it's kind of like it all just starts happening. So we push it off. And I think the other part of it is the best part of living in Minnesota is right now. I mean, really,
Best weather?
Yep. You and I, we travel all over the country, right? For me, one of the things that I try to do with an extreme effort is I don't want to travel anywhere in September, October, beginning in November, because that's the best time to be in Minnesota.
Absolutely. And this is one of the reasons we picked up this topic today. Some people might think it's too early. It's not. It's perfect weather to be outside. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. But we're going to give you a list today. What do you have to be doing right now to prepare for the winter, and why now is crucial? Because a month later, you will not be able to do half of the stuff we're going to talk on the show today, and stuff like preparing your exteriors, preparing your interiors, insulating your house, finding contractors, maybe to do some specialty service. For example, concrete is one of those. If you don't take care of it right now, you're out. You probably already too late, because a lot of people have hard time to find some of the specialty contractors, because again, weather is still nice, but it's not going to be nice for too long, and you still have time. Take care of it today, because tomorrow you might not have a chance.
Yeah, I think I want to get into talking a little bit about not just the things that we all need to do, our list, you know, things that you can do, but what are some of the different things that you may not have thought of? You know, we're from here, right? I mean, we know we got to take care of certain things, but what are some of the other little things that we can do that may make the springtime come a little bit better? Not just the major preventative stuff, but may make it better in the springtime, some of those things we can do now, and how we can prepare those a little bit ahead and make that better. That's what I like to get into.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I live here, and a couple of weeks ago it was my son's birthday, and it's the first house we own with a pool in it. And I remember asking my wife, hey, babe, do you think we're still going to use the pool, or should I just cover and winterize it right now? Because I don't feel already jumping in the pool. But we have that mentality where, and my pool has a heater, so we have that mentality we're going to take as much as possible out of it. But reality is, you wake up in the morning right now, you're already putting jacket on or like nice sweater. You definitely don't have mood for pool. You don't have a mood for you start bundling up, but you want to get as much as possible out of good season. So for me, it's hard to make the decision to cover pool even, or to do those little things, or start thinking about, hey, I'm going to be going to Home Depot and buying a whole bunch of insulation and start winterizing my pipes. Like, I don't want to think about it. I want to enjoy the moment, enjoy the leaves, enjoy the weather, And unfortunately, if you're a good homeowner, you have to start doing those things, or you're going to pay high price in a couple months when temperature will drop below freezing.
Yeah, you make a good point on the pool, because one of the things I always thought was crazy, I talked to all of our friends from all over the place, and they live in warm climates, and you know, so it's like everybody has a pool. And I always thought, well, you know, if I lived in Arizona, if I lived in Texas, of course it makes sense to have a pool. I can be in it year-round. But you know what? They don't. They open it, you know, kind of the same time, Memorial weekend, and then they close it like Labor Day weekend. And it's weird. They have their season as well that they don't even use the thing during the winter. And so we here look at things more of like, hey, if we don't do this, you know, our window's closing, you know, I think we try to maximize the as much as we can. Like you said, oh, you know, hey, can we use it for a while longer? It's still decent out. It's going to get terrible. So.
And I just wanted to say a huge thank you to all our listeners. We already started getting calls on our show. I got a really interesting call yesterday. If you like our content, help us to create more of it. I know a lot of homeowners being burned by bad contractors, bad companies out there, maybe bad advertising stuff. We do talk on our show on a regular basis now. So we're coming to you every Sunday at 10 o'clock. We encourage you to visit our website and YouTube channel, Home Science Show, homescienceshows.com, and just go on YouTube channel. You can contact us at 612-558-4881, 612-558-4881, whether via text or call. We would like to hear from you because, let's face it, right now it's a contractor's market. So what I mean by that is contractors have leverage. And especially times like this where window is so short to do the services, a lot of contractors do take money and they know for a fact they're not going to be able to do the service. And we do see people get scammed by concrete contractor, painters, contractors. And if you've been scammed recently and you have bad experience and you want us maybe investigate that company or that service, we would like to hear from you. Reach out to us. We'll interview you, we'll do our investigation, and maybe talk on the show about those experiences to prevent other people in our community and not to get scammed as well.
Yeah, I don't think you can come across many people that don't have some sort of a story. You know, if you own a home on some level, and it's not always the contractor like we are, you know, used to seeing too, but it's you know, different companies and different services that are out there that provide things for us as homeowners. And I think that if we can shine some light on that, or what we should be able to expect with that, because sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what that service or what that company should be. There's the obvious stuff, the obvious scam stuff and rip off, you know, but there's a lot of times where as a homeowner, we just assume that, oh, if I take this service, this is exactly what I'm going to get. Well, I think sometimes understanding what you should be able to expect is what, you know, we want to help shine some light on. So if you have situations that you've been in, you felt like, well, I thought as long as I you know, bought this product, that everything else was going to be great. If I hooked this piece of equipment up to my house, that I wasn't going to have to worry about anything else. If I called this sprinkler winterization guy to blow up my sprinklers, I wasn't going to have to worry about shutting the water lines off to my exterior hose bibs or something. Like, they handled that. You know, what should they be handling versus what shouldn't they be handling is a little bit what we want to hear. And, you know, maybe we can shine some light on that as well.
When we come back, we will talk about how to prevent your house from leaks in the wintertime, why roofs do leak more in the wintertime than they leak in the summertime. Big shock for a lot of homeowners. They don't realize it. But if you have a bad roof or bad siding, or if you didn't winterize your exteriors, you will have major problems because you don't understand what happens with the water when it freezes and melts. So we're going to come back to it right after the break.
Yeah, we'll be back, and I want to hear more about that winterize piece. Is it winterize or winterize? Dimitri's going to explain that part. Welcome back to the Home Science Show with Dmitry Lipinski and Chris Linder. And before the break, we talked about we're going to get into a little bit of some of the tips and tricks and things you need to do to winterize your exteriors. I was giving Dmitry a little bit of a hard time. I like to mess with him a little bit when from time to time. And his the guy has amazing English for being an immigrant. And so it's so good that I actually feel like I can give him a little bit of a hard time because it's like too good. I can't imagine what it would be like if the roles were reversed. So winterizing your home, you know, Dmitry, let's talk about the roof. I mean, you're the roof guy. Let's talk. What do we got to do?
Absolutely. So roof is most neglected one, I would say. Nobody goes on the roof, nobody sees it. And what's happening is people don't realize that life expectancy on the roof in Minnesota is about 18 years. So people think, hey, I have 25, 30-year-old shingle. No, you don't. You have weather conditions that, you know, pretty severe here. You have cold winds, you have ice, you have snow. It all affects your roofing system, and your roof is not going to last as long as you think it is. So if your roof is right there 18, 20 years, check it out before it's too late. You don't go there too often. So if you do see, you know, from the ground missing shingles, if you see, you know, a thermal crack, and I mean, a roof needs some kind of maintenance at least every couple of years. So here's what we do. So what we recommend is we recommend you at least check it out, you know, every 2 years minimum, because roofs do leak more in the wintertime. And every year we see homeowners who maybe been thinking about replacing the roof because it's right there at the end of lifetime, and they don't. And then winter comes and they start having major leaks. The reason it's happening because you have that snow load on the roof and you have a heat loss from the house. So pretty much it covers under blankets. So your water actually stays longer on the shingles. And if you have broken seals, cracks or missing shingles, it will start climbing up and you're going to see ugly spot on your ceiling and probably hear from your wife.
Well, yeah. And a lot of it, what people don't realize is that ambient temperature has a lot to do with what happens with your roof. And thinking about on a roof, there's two sides of your roof. Everybody thinks of the outside, right? The side that we can see, the outside of the shingles. But, you know, 50% of that roof is on the underside. And the way things are ventilated have a big impact, you know, on how your roof performs and its longevity. But in the wintertime, and we're considered, if you look at the climate map, Minnesota is considered to be in the extreme zone of the climate. And so what that means to us is basically we're heating our homes up as much as we can, obviously, to be comfortable inside of them. But the difference between the outside and the inside of the home can be so drastic. So an attic is typically designed, you want to have an ambient temperature in there, in the attic portion of your home. So in other words, above the insulation, between the insulation and the shingles, you want to try to, that temperature as close to the outside air temperature as possible. Because otherwise what happens is when the heat escapes through your insulation, it creates a warmer space underneath that really, really cool roof. And so if it's snow load on top there, like you talked about, and now you got warming, that warm air melts the snow from the underside. You don't even see it. The snow can look like it's just sitting there. It's warming that up. It's creating water that, you know, when it's really cold, that water's still there. And then it's going to freeze again because it's going to get so cold where it can't, you know, do anything about it because it's just so cold. But what happens is it keeps melting and then kind of goes underneath your shingles and it freezes and then it expands and it continues to do this. So over the course of the winter, that roof that you put off from the fall thinking, you know, I'll deal with that in the spring. I mean, I kind of lost the fall. I don't want to have roofers on my property right now. I just want to enjoy this. It's fall in Minnesota. But what happens is if it's already bad, and trust me, I've seen this many, many, many times firsthand, if it's already bad, come spring, it's literally going to be much, much worse. So think about that.
It ages much faster over the winter. And also what you have to be thinking about, those elements like accessories, your caulking, like everywhere your roof meets walls. In the summertime, the water just washes away. It never raises up. You don't have rivers on your roof. But in the wintertime, if that caulk where it meets roof and siding, if it's, you know, gap is a little bit wider, 2 inch above, now you have that snow that literally going to be, you know, feeding water and melting inside those cracks and just creating more damage. So next one is, Chris, let's talk about windows and doors. What do we do there?
Yeah, windows and doors, you know, as most of us know, if you were to take a, you know, thermal reading on the exterior of your home is a good way to see it. But that's a space where we lose most of our energy. Most energy is lost through your windows and doors, and the next place is the roof. If you know, numbers serve me correctly on that exactly, that there's a little bit of an exchange, we're pretty close. But the point is, what it is depending upon, you know, like say you got good windows in your home. You've gone out and you bought good windows, so you know that you're not losing as much as you could be through the glass, which is, you know, the obvious way. I've invested in good windows, but just because we invested in good windows to begin with, we spent the money, we went out and we had, you know, an exteriors guy come in and do a great job putting in windows, there's a maintenance expectation on our part as homeowners, because the window's going to perform the same, but it's the space around it, between your walls and your siding, you know, the framing of your home, that caulk that they use to put in there, it should be a siliconized caulk, silicone, for an exterior. And actually, you want 100% silicone. It's going to expand and contract the best with our climate. But that, you know, it needs to be refreshed. You know, maybe not every year, but you should look at it. And so what you can do is you can just walk around, if you have a vinyl siding on your home or wood or whatever it is, and just look and see if they had it there, what kind of a gap is there between where your siding meets your window frame. And you can start to see, if you look close, that it's come apart a little bit. But adding another coat there around those windows and doors, while it's still pretty fresh, rather than waiting until it's just completely, you know, shrunk up or, you know, in really bad condition, well, the little bit of time you take then is much easier than having to remove it all because it's in such bad shape in order to reapply. You know, it's not the funnest job. And in some, you know, of our homes are two stories or, you know, three stories out the back or whatever it is. So getting ahead of that, you know, and going around and putting that adhesive on there, that silicone is good. I mean, GE silicone too is window and door product. It's a really good product. So think about using that. That's all, you know, a solid product to use. You can get it at Home Depot for about $6 a tube.
I just wanted to add a quick tip that what I personally did last year in my house. And as you guys, some of you know, I'm from Siberia. So I'm from the country, from the region where we have, you know, literally 6-inch windows. I mean, you just, you know, when you have minus 57 outside, your windows have to be like triple pane and they have to be really, really well insulated. So when I got to the United States, I'm like, the temperatures here is still going to get like minus 20, minus 30. It's still pretty cold. How is it going to warm my house or keep my house warm? And one of the things I've done, I went and invested in blinds, cellular blinds, so they're pretty thick, but they keep a lot of air in between. And those blinds, I tell you, they work magic, because what's happening is you've seen the drafty windows, and I have 5 kids, so I cannot have drafty windows and cold air on the floor when my kids are playing. So it was night and day difference installing those blinds, because I literally have like inch of extra air once they're down. And they're just, they call like cellular shade. It's pretty much, it's a lot of air in between. So, but they're also really good for insulation. So you're pretty much adding extra inch of air in front of any window that you have with a, you know, tiny gap on the sides. But it's not going to be nearly as cold without them. So that was my solution. And I would highly recommend those blinds. It takes about 6 weeks to get, so if you do it now, you'll be getting them right before winter.
Yeah, that's why we're getting in front of it. No, I want to a little bit on those, because those are pretty, you know, they're kind of a newer thing, right? Yeah. I haven't seen them around for a lot, but basically what it does is it's going to essentially just the way that heat or air, you know, cooling works is if you have an air gap, that is a huge piece of what will stop the transfer of temperature. So in your windows, the reason you want a double pane is that between the two pieces of glass, that air that's there will slow down that transfer of temperatures. So kind of these blinds that he's talking about are a little bit of the same process. It creates another air gap between your windows and the rest of your living space. So those, I think, are you know, pretty good piece for pretty inexpensive overall for what they get.
And lastly, in this segment, we want to talk about gutters. Gutters are one of those areas of your house where it's least amount of maintenance, but the most amount of prevention of damage. I mean, gutters are crucial to navigate your water. And right now, in this time of year, you're going to have a lot of leaves. A lot of people do have some kind of gutter guards on them. Unfortunately, I would say, in my humble estimate, about 80% of gutter cover products don't work, or after a couple years don't work anymore. So if you rely on your gutter system and your gutter cover system, I would still highly recommend you go check it out. Is it still working? If there's any clogs? Because before you know it, if your gutter guard system is already gone, maybe you have cheap plastic, or I've seen those foam inserts, and foam inserts actually the worst, because they do collect a lot of seeds, and pretty much plants just started growing from inside out. Definitely check your gutters right now in the winter time when you're going to have ice in them. It's going to be way, way difficult, and you might get water backing up and creating major, major problem with the ice dams, roof line, soffit, fascia, even foundations and walls. So definitely something to check out right now.
Yeah, those gutters, when they back up and then they fill and freeze in the wintertime, it can make it extra worse on the ice dams. They are a major cause of those ice dams. When we come back, we're going to jump into another segment. We're going to talk about what you can do to winterize the inside of your home and make a difference for your peace of mind.
Welcome back, everyone, to Home Science Show. We're discussing today what you should be doing right now while weather is so nice and beautiful outside, and why you should be already concerned about winter's coming, and what should you be doing to your house. Right now, we're talking about pipe insulation, your pipes inside, outside. Chris, what do we have to do about our pipes in whatever, like September, October, right now?
Yeah, you know, especially if you've never lived in your home through a winter, I think is probably for most people something they don't...
First-time homeowners?
Yeah, well, first-time homeowners, or you've never lived in this home. Because, sure, you know, one, if you live in, you know, you have an idea that there's things you need to do, but you don't know, every home is different, and every home has a little bit of a different problem or potential problem based on the way it's constructed or the way it's laid out. So, you know, if you've never been through a winter with this home, one thing you're going to want to do is just go take an assessment of what you have going on. Meaning, you know, do you have hose bibs to the exterior? And, you know, so there's a water line coming off your water main that's going to go to an exterior faucet for your hose. And is that insulated in that area? You know, is there heat making it to the area? And or even look and see if you can identify that maybe it's been patched or repaired in the past. That's a good indicator that, you know, somebody else has had problems with this. Because let's face it, when you buy a home, they don't exactly leave you a list of all the problems that they've dealt with in that home, the previous homeowner. So be looking for some of those things that you can go and identify. And then what you can do is you can go down and there's multiple ways to do it. You can go down and get a standard kind of foam pipe insulation that, you know, goes around that. You can use spray foam from a can and just go and look for the penetration near your hose bib where it actually goes through the wall and spray that in. Just stop that little bit of air. It doesn't take much. A small cracklet's in a lot of air and it's going to freeze a pipe.
One note on that, be very, very careful with those spray foams. A couple years ago, I was working in this apartment, and we installed a tub and supposed to insulate underneath of it. So I was downstairs trying to use a spray foam above me. And I tell you this, once that spray foam busts in your like hands, if it gets on your skin, it will not come off. I don't care what you use. You can use their cleaner, acetone, gasoline. I mean, it literally will come off with your skin when your skin is ready to come off your hands. It stayed on my hands for like over 30 days. So when you deal with a spray foam, just be careful. Use gloves. You know, they do sell little kits like for cleaning off your skin. The spray foam is not a joke. As a matter of fact, I just used it again a couple weeks ago. I have big cracks in my driveway where it meets the house. I'm just so careful, and I keep yelling at my kids, like, stay away, because they see the spray foam start bubbling up and they like all want to come in and grab the bubble. I'm like, no, you don't want to do that. Your mom will kill me.
Yeah, they want to play with it. Yeah, so obviously you haven't learned your lesson not to use spray foam. You know, actually, I want to contradict that a little bit with that whole cleaning thing. So a tip that I can give you, long time ago, I had an accident when I was young, working on a roof, hot tar. And I was running the kettle, putting hot tar into this, you know, molten kettle that you're going to then now coat a roof with. And I had the big, these giant kegs of tar that you slide into a molten bath of tar, right? So I'm 16 years old. Of course, why wouldn't I be running the kettle when I'm 16 years old? Thanks, Dad. So I'm lowering the kettle that and by the way, they're like 120 pounds. And I'm putting it into this molten bath of tar. And it slipped. And it splashed. And it splashed on my arm. And it splashed on my face. And it is molten. I'm not, no joke. And so I'm down on the ground. You know, I would like to believe, you know, being tough about it. But I don't think I was. I was pretty freaked out. So I go to the doctor and, you know, figuring out, you know, what to do. This stuff is now dried. It's on my face. It's not a good situation. So what he does is he calls up to the cafeteria and orders down some mayonnaise. He proceeds to slather my arm and my face in mayonnaise and then wrap me with gauze like a mummy and said, give it 3 days and take this off. 3 days later, I take it off, and all of the tar and everything was sitting in the bandages, and I had no scars. What it does is the oils from the mayonnaise got in and underneath that and removed it without pulling off all my skin and everything. And I've had some guys do the same thing with the spray foam. So, you know, I had to jump into that story just because it can really help you. So try that if it does, because that spray foam, a lot of people use it. I mean, it's sitting all over shelves, and this stuff solves problems, right?
Yep. Well, if you guys go right now to Menards or Home Depot or Lowe's, if you don't know exactly what to do, or me and Chris will not give you enough content or ideas, you go right now to any home improvement store and you walk in, sky is falling. Like, you see like winterize, you see all the products. Just do your research. Just at least go to that installation section. You will be surprised how many products out there for your exterior pipes, for your faucets, they have product right now probably for everything, like for windows. Even if you've never done it before, you will see there's a lot of know-how. There is like brand new ideas. Some of them are very cute and very simple. They don't cost you a lot of money. And they're very simple, but like, you know, protecting your beep outside, like with a nice little foam. Seems like every year there's new products coming out, new foams, new systems, new whatever. And those, I like those wrappers on the pipe. They actually made like four me once, so they made out of the same material as pipe insulators, like on factories. They're very cool, like they do the job. They're there for a reason. Everybody, it's a season now, so everybody sells them. Please take care of it. Like, just go, you know, spend this weekend, buy some products, because you know yourself, you probably like me, are going to procrastinate and do it last minute. But if you go right now, stock up, and, you know, it's going to be in your garage for a couple of weeks, and you will get it done before it's run out of the shelves.
Yeah, another good thing you can use, and you have to be careful with it, but you can use heat tape to keep your pipes in. If you have like a really cold area of your home that you know is just always a problem, you've tried all the foams, you've tried all the little Home Depot, Menards stuff, it just doesn't seem to be working, you can use what's called heat tape. And really what it is, it's basically a conductor wrapped in rubber that then just plugs in, and it kind of looks like a flat, maybe extension cord. Make sure that you're careful when you're using that. You may want to consult, some pros on it, but the biggest thing is make sure you read the manufacturer's instructions when you use it, because it can damage things if it's not used properly.
And another tip I would like to give is open your cabinets. A lot of people, once they replace cabinets or do maybe bathroom remodel. People don't take care of the pipes, like, because contractors who work with the cabinets, they're not plumbers per se. And plumbing usually comes first, and then finishings comes next. And whether you do basement finishing, bathroom remodeling, or kitchen, a lot of times it's not going to happen right there and then. And what's going to happen is if you have inside a cabinet, but let's say pipe that goes outside, maybe an exterior wall, but it's not insulated, you're going to have much colder water, or it will take much longer time to fish and to go through entire pipe before it start, you know, getting warm again. So I want to make sure that you do open all your cabinets, check all the pipes, and make sure it's sealed, it's covered, everything you can do there.
Yeah, I think that brings a good point. A lot of times we see finished basements, so, our water mitigation, company, we go into projects, and one of the leading causes that we see is somebody's got a water leak in their basement, and we always hear this: we just had our basement finished. We just had our basement done, and we've never had water problems before. Well, what they didn't realize is that when they finished the basement, they maybe built some soffit. This is one common thing. They build what's called a soffit, like basically a kind of a box that hangs from the ceiling to cover up some duct work or pipes that are, unsightly. Well, when they do that, they're now closing those pipes off from the heat source, which is, your basic, room temperature, and they're isolating it. And now if those pipes were near an exterior wall, you've isolated them from getting the heat that they need, and they're going to freeze inside there. That's really common. So one tip that you can do, if you've had this done, you've finished a basement and you've softened, you know that they've boxed down around some pipes and ducting, you can take you can do this yourself. It's pretty simple. You can go and just get what's called a cold air return. It's just a grill or a grate like you'd see on your wall, and you can cut a hole in the drywall of that soffit, and then it with just four screws, you can screw on one of these covers, and it'll look fine. It'll just look like a vent cover, but it'll allow the heat from the room to get into that soffit and circulate and keep those pipes from freezing. And a lot of times, the other thing is they put insulation in these soffits thinking they're helping things, but they're insulating it actually from the heat, and the cold side is exposed. So that's another way this can happen. Just make sure that if somebody's working on your home and doing this, that they're taking those things into consideration, because a lot of times we do things to make them look better, but we're not thinking about the long-term science piece of how it's going to affect our home.
Great points. And the last one I have for this segment is fix your exterior cracks. Your house moves. You probably notice it inside a house where, every spring, every season changed, you have jammed doors. Well, what's happening, your house moves. Everything moves, and the bigger house you have, the more movements you have. So you might not have cracks last year in your foundation, but right now it's a good time to go out before you have, 12 feet of snow on the ground. Go in, check for exterior cracks. If you have any, please get that exterior grade caulk. Like, they have amazing products for concrete seals. Just go in, seal them. You will be happy you did, because you don't want that snow be melting in your basement, creating more issues, mold, and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, cracks are not uncommon in a foundation. They do start to happen. But what the difference is, you start to get a small crack, and then that moisture gets in there. And then in the winter, it freezes and expands. And now that crack just gets a little bit bigger every year. Before you know it, then you have the major problem. So when you see those small cracks, don't freak out, but go look for some of that exterior grade caulk and caulk up your house. And, I think that'll make a big difference in the longevity of things. When we get back, we're going to get a little bit more into what we got to do to find contractors in the contractor's world right now before the season ends, and how you're going to do it.
And we're continuing our home science show today. And finally, in segment number four, we're talking today about how do you find the contractors to do seasonal work at the end of the season, where it's absolutely contractors' market right now. Contractors have all leverage in the world. They know that you need them. They already have really nice backlog. They can raise their prices. They can scam you if they want to. They can lie to you. They know they have all leverage in the world, and you're desperate this time of year to do some of that work. Like, for example, concrete contractors, all the good ones, should be already booking jobs for the next year. And if you need a new driveway, be very careful who you hire, because you might be hiring somebody who don't know what they're doing, like Chris did a couple of weeks ago, and screw his driveway up. But let's talk about it. How do you find a contractor this time of the season?
Dude, you come right out with the pain points, straight out of the gate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's no secret between us. I kind of went through a little bit of this myself. And I've been around, you know, I've been around contracting my whole life, and I can do concrete. I've got a pretty big project that I was having a driveway done, and so just based on time and such, I was in need to find a contractor to do concrete. And the concrete contractor that I would normally use, just like you said, he was at minimum at that time 6 weeks out. And this is a home that I'm selling, and I needed to get it done. So, you know, I called around, found some people, and basically a guy who could get it done. So what did I do? Like anybody does, I, you know, okay, hey, great. You know, give me a quote, get the quote, the number's going to work. And then, you know, he gives me a couple of references, and I call a couple of references. And next thing you know, I literally, and we'll talk about this in another show, but I literally had the biggest mess of all time on my hands.
Well, last night I was listening to another scam alert on the news. And by the way, if you have any of those stories, please do share them with us. We will start our own investigation, bring it to the show. But last night I was listening to this one contractor in Philadelphia, scammed homeowner for $4,000. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, $4,000? Yes, you're in the news these days. It's such a small amount, but yes, it does. And then conclusion of the show was, anchor was saying, hey, make sure you get three quotes. And I cannot tell you how many times I heard it. It seems like all the news media's out there, all they recommend, get three quotes, get three estimates. Well, guess what? Forget about three quotes. What if you're getting three quotes from Home Advisor, and like we spoke about it last Sunday, and all three quotes are from scamming companies? All three companies are just saying what you want to hear. Go with your guts. Check their reputation. Right now, you still have time to do almost anything you need in Minnesota. I don't care if it's roofing, siding, gutters, if it's your driveway, if you need to do some landscaping, you still can find a reputable company. You just have to be looking for in a good places for it. So if you haven't listened to our last show, check it out. We talked about where to find a contractor, but listen, you don't have to go just to Google, or you don't have to just go to one provider like Angie's List or Home Advisor. There is better places. We covered last show, check it out. But I'm telling you right now, go with your guts. The best advice I can personally give you right now is find contractor today. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another month. It will be too late. And at the end of the season, when you're becoming desperate and only bad contractors who is for some reason slow at the end of the reason, at the end of the season, I mean, that would be my red flag. Why are you still looking for a job?
Yeah, talk about gut check. I mean, when I hired that concrete guy, I the entire time I'm sitting here saying, this is a bad decision. This is a bad decision.
Why did you do it? Like, why people make those? Was it the price? Did it go with the lower price?
Honestly, no. It was he was available, and that's why
he was available.
That was my red flag too. You know, and it should have been more. The good guys, they are booked out. They exactly. Don't have space. They don't have time. You're just gonna have to get on their schedule. If they've got, you know, if they can get you in this week or
next.
Yeah,
week.
Right. I mean, come on, man. If you're anybody right now in Minnesota, it's the time. You're busy. You've got a backlog, and you know, unless they have a really, really good reason, you can see they've got all the reputation and all those things, and they just brought on some more guys, you know, now we can fit in a few more that's one thing. But you know, I didn't get that. I was desperate. I was desperate. I needed to get this done because I'm selling this house, and I needed to get this driveway replaced. The old one was sinking, and it just needed to be done. I thought, well, Jesus, a driveway, how, you know, big, you know, it ain't a big deal. You know, it's just one slab. So, you know, mistake, boom, cost me. And right now I sit, I'm literally $4,000 upside down, and I'm back to where I started. So it can be painful. What I would say, if you can't get on their schedule, and I mean, if you're not in that situation like I was, then schedule them out for the spring. don't just jump on. I mean, you should be able to probably, you know, get slid in yet, but wait, don't take these guys that don't have a backlog, because I tell you, there's a problem. You know, you see any kind of a red flag with it, it isn't right. I mean, this guy showed up, and I knew right away he showed up, not to be whatever, but he kind of showed up with his wife or girlfriend who, what, you know, to help him hold the tape measure and measuring some things up. And I'm like, oh boy. And how did I not shut that down right then? You know what I did? I'm a dummy. I went and wrote him a check for the concrete, just, you know, just the materials to start, you know, well, and, you know,
I think what happens in your situation is the same effect as we have, when we try to pass for a driver license test, right? Like my father-in-law have been truck driver all his life. And people like that usually never pass on the first exam because we're overconfident. Oh, we know it all. Nobody can trick us. Like, I'm going to pass the driver test. I've been a driver all my life. Now you go in and it's like third attempt. You cannot get it. When your 16-year-old daughter passes right away, it's embarrassing, but it happens. Like, I mean, I get scammed too by the same thing. I teach people and I'm like, nope, it's not going to happen to me. And sure it does. And great point about waiting a little bit longer. But I want to add a few things, like trades like roofing, trades like siding, you can do all year round. Like you do want to maintain the temperature above 50 at least, but you still can do almost all year round, some trades, some work. In our business too, like I own a roofing company and I see a lot of bad jobs that happen over the winter or late in the season because homeowners are desperate to get it done. And there's something with us Minnesotans, we just like to procrastinate. And then I meet so many homeowners, they're like, yeah, I knew, like I got quote in June and now it's, you know, October or November, and they call this roofing companies or exterior companies like, can you please get me on a schedule? Like, we can't, it's 5 weeks out. And they didn't go with you, they go with the next one who is available for some reason. And then we come in the springtime and we're like, who was here? Who did this?
Yeah.
And usually it's the biggest problems, you know, like as far as like redoing work.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what it is. And we get ourselves in these situations and we got to figure it out. What else are you going to do? And then we think, you kind of talk yourself into, I think it'll be all right. I'll kind of stay on them a little bit, you know, that sort of thing. And then next thing you know, here you are and you got a whole hell of a lot of problems on your hands, really.
Well, that's why we're talking about it in the middle of September. And I'm one of those guys. If I don't have a deadline, I'm not going to get it done. The problem we have in Minnesota, we don't know if we're going to get snow in October or it's going to be November. Last year, we installed last roof. I want to believe it was November 16. And this year, it could be October 16. You just never know. So it's mid-September. You still have time. If you may be planning to sell your house over the winter and you need those, especially exteriors. Interiors, a little bit different stories. But take care of your pipes. Take care of your roofs. Take care of your driveways while you can. I don't want to sound too desperate, but time is money and you're running out of it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, if you're going to get on one of those schedules, so say it's for roofing or say it's for painting, one tip that you can do is you can ask that guy, because right now it's September. I mean, geez, you know, it's 80-some degrees still, right? I mean, we're ahead of this, I think. but ask the guy, say, okay, I'm willing to get on your schedule, and you're however many weeks out right now, but let me ask you this, because we don't know what happens. Sometimes we get snow in October. Let me ask us, at what point is it gone too far? At what temperature or continuous days of temperature would you not do it? If you don't ask them that question now, they may not have the integrity at the time. So say it does dip below 50 and they shouldn't be painting for a few days and you're on the schedule, now you come up, they may just go ahead and do it anyway. Know that and hold them to it and say, you know what, then let's do it in the spring. You know, just know that ahead of time, because if you don't ask it right now while it's 80, you're not going to get the right answer. They're going to tell you something maybe a little bit different because they want to still do the job before the end of the year.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We would like to hear from you, your stories. If you have ever dealt with a contractor who maybe scammed you or took your money, didn't do the work late in the season, share your experience with us. Find us on YouTube, homescienceshow.com, on the internet. Would love to hear from you. And feel free to call us, 612-558-4881. 612-558-4881. We'll tune in with you next Sunday.